Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball, capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Ewell Spencer, and some people know him as Spencer for short, has not had an easy or simple life. In his new one-man show, You Gotta Go Higher, which begins June 11th at the Hollywood Complex East Theater, he'll bring the funny, of course, but he's also going to share stories of addiction and recovery. And I understand Richard Pryor. This is not new ground for Spencer, but it is the first time he's organized his humor and his life in this type of performance. Now, before I bring Spencer on, I'd like to play a little clip of the comedian at work. And this kind of combines a couple of things real quickly.
Think El Nino or something? Wait till you see El Negro. That's a hoodoo.
So good.
Oh, look at
my goodies. Not my goodies.
Well, girl, that show was one hell of a...
Oh, I'm just happy to see a Christian brother.
I'll tell you what we don't need in the NBA. Have you heard of the floor cam? Supposed to show you, like, the dunk, you know, coming to the basket. Wait, that ain't what you see. What you see is a 7-foot black ass in your screen.
Oh, wait, Spencer, you got an extra cigarette? Well, I don't know. Let's see. The packs say 20. Now, if I count them and there's 21 in here, you get the extra one, brother.
Spencer!
Spencer!
In the head! You're the man!
Okay, my turn. Spencer!
How you doing today, sir? Mr. Media?
How are you?
I am excellent. I am excellent. I got Larry B. Scott with me today.
Yeah, man, he paid me handsomely to show up.
in round figures.
You're
a big zero.
You're a big round figure, but it's okay.
How are you today?
Good. Glad to have you both here. And I want to explain to everyone, because there'll be people who may be tuning in who are confused. Spencer and Larry were both on last week. We did a show. We had a good time, I think.
We had a great time.
And then a very stupid thing happened. About 2 hours later, I got word from our network that for some reason the servers for that hour dropped all the shows. And, I knew it was important to Spencer, because he's got this new one-man show coming up, to get the word out. And just a little, you know, behind the scenes baseball here. Most of the listens to these shows come after the live show, and I didn't think it was fair to deprive Spencer's fans of this opportunity to listen to him and talk. So we're back at it. So if we seem a little familiar, it's because we are a little familiar, wouldn't you say?
We'll try not to do the same joke.
No. Well, I'm going to do
one. I want to say thank you very much for that, Mr. Media. We do appreciate it. You got to go higher. It's a very important project to us, and we really do thank you. We're opening here Thursday this week. We got to go to set today to see them building the set, and so we're really excited and nervous, and we're glad that you had us back. Thank you so much.
Yes,
for those not
in the know, Mr. Media, who did not get a chance to catch last week's show, You Got to Go Higher is about, basically, it's a one-man show, and it's about the journey of one man on the way to himself. And on his path, he stops by drugs, alcohol, and some really, really good music.
But also, this is about just it's about a country in recovery, really, from the financial crisis, now the swine flu. Some people are the shock of a black president. You know, a lot of people getting over that one. And so it's a combination of just a country in recovery, but described through one man's journey.
And you'll explain where Larry fits in, because I didn't introduce him in the introduction, because I wasn't positive that he was going to be here. So where does Larry fit into all this?
I'm sorry, it's Larry B.
Larry B, that's very popular. I mean, that's the famous movie star, Larry B. And so Larry B. Scott, and you guys know him from like 50 movies, but most famous for Revenge of the Nerds, playing Lamar Luttrell. And so most people know him from that. But in this show, not only is he one of the co-producers and director and writers, but he is the voiceover talent. Not only you'll see him open up for me, bring me open and do a disclaimer for me, and then he will bring me on stage. The next thing you hear, every voice other than mine will be his.
Hmm.
So he's like a voiceover talent, like when I need to hear from God.
God.
God's one of his voices. And then I think he plays the mother or police officer one time.
Play a black leprechaun.
A black leprechaun, yeah. He's going to play a black, angry, vicious leprechaun. And I know you don't know how that fits in, but
judge.
But trust me, if you did the drugs, we ain't done.
You see him too.
You would see the little guy.
Exactly right.
Do the leprechaun from.
Always after me, Lucky Crack.
So that's that. That's what Larry B. Scott fits in very well.
And I just wanted on the record. I got to tell you on the record that if one night he's not available to be the voice of God, I'm happy to step in.
You are the man, Mr. Media. We love you, man.
And you were sounding a lot like God to me.
Yule, this is God. Stop it. Stop it right now.
Sorry, all right. You got to audition when you can.
I reckon that's a pretty damn good impression there. I recognize that voice.
It's between that and the cops. I'm not sure which
one of them. I'm not clear.
One of them. Definitely the voice of authority.
That'd be great. Thank you, Mr. Media.
So tell us about the one-man show. And one of the things I know I asked you about last week, but what is the difference between a comedian doing a one-man show and doing his typical stand-up?
You know what? That's a really, really good question. The difference between typical stand-up is generally comedians are not given an hour. They're generally given 15 to 20, 30 minutes. So they devise that show, and it's more jokey. Stand-up is more than jokey. A one-man show is actually an opportunity for somebody to tell a story.
It's scripted as well. That's the main thing, that this show is scripted. I actually have to perform me. I have to play me as a character, where actually it's much easier going outside and playing other characters like in my other TV shows and movies I've done. But to play me is a little bit more crucial because it makes me more vulnerable and things of that nature. But the writers have put it, Anita Jones.
Incredible. She's fantastic. Look, there's three names on that poster. Larry B. Scott, which is me, Yulee Spencer, and Anita Jones. Without her, she's what we call misstructure. You see it, but you don't see it.
Because, well, she wrote on Frasier, the TV show sitcom Frasier, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So she's really talented. She has some screenplays.
A couple of very popular reality shows on.
Okay, I'm going to pay you guys later. I'm here, too.
She is in the background there.
See, that's her job. She's in the background.
She was the story producer for Celebrity Rehab. You remember that show?
Sure.
She's still airing, right? So she was the first season, she was the story producer on that show. So she's very talented in scripting, and that is the main difference, is that this show will be scripted. I will be acting as me. Now, you get a lot of jokes still. You get a lot of 99% of this show is funny. You get a lot of jokes, but you go on a roller coaster ride of emotions as well. And so it allows you to concentrate your focus, like this being about recovery. In a stand-up routine, I may talk about 50 subjects, you know, in an hour. In a one-man show, it'll be focused on, and I always say, this is a we show, not a me show. So it's not just about me, it's about us.
And I always like to say, if you like to laugh, bring your ass off.
He said that really well, didn't you think?
Yep. He's pretty good with the words.
I think that's a quote from the corner. A bunch of quotes from the corner. I'll get it to you later.
He's almost as good as you at God.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't
know. You create folks out there? Because I know a lot of folks, you know, I always hear from the talent, but they don't know what's behind it. What happens when you have to do a one-man show? And I'll be real brief. What happens is you basically have to first write it, then you have to
rehearse it,
then you have to rehearse it, and then you have to get the set together.
Wait a minute, you have to first have an executive producer is willing to pay thousands and thousands and thousands.
Someone who believes in ideas is willing to, quite frankly, put up the money, not just say, yeah, you got a good idea, but actually put up the money and be patient enough to wait for the return, quite frankly, because this is a process and it takes time. Am I boring you?
Me? No. Go on.
I wasn't sure if I heard that. It was one snore or two snores I heard there. But that's the process, guys, for y'all out there who are trying to put it together. You got to get somebody, and you got to make sure you have enough money to complete the process. Because a lot of times you go and you ask for the wrong, you'd be so damn happy somebody give you money, you forget to ask for the right amount. You know, so you're like, why are the guys giving me money? And you ask for $5,000 of your shoes and a figure, and your project costs $50,000.
Well, that's going to really put you behind the eight ball.
You are behind the eight ball.
You know what we call that, Mr. Media? A debt.
Yeah.
And so we're not looking towards that. We're going higher. You got to go higher. It's about going higher. It's about making higher choices in our lives. It's about the consciousness of this country now, about each other collaborating with each other. I kind of believe we have a four-year window to get our stuff together. To get ready for the next whatever is going to happen
when
next.
We come down really hard on black people.
We want to make sure we get some. Get it.
But we're out here to have fun, as you can see. We love to look at life, make fun of it. We even make fun of ourselves, which was really the hard part. But our job also is to entertain you, so we're going to make sure we entertain you for that hour and 15 minutes. So if you can make it to Hollywood, for some of your listeners that are out there, we are at the Complex Theater, which is actually the East Theater, which is at 6468 Santa Monica Boulevard. For those of you out there who want to check us out online, you can go to yougottagohigher.com. And for those of you who are in Hollywood or just locally and want to drive in and see the show, you can go to eticketfarm.com. And what is that again, Spencer?
What, eticketfarm.com?
Or you got to go higher.
Y-A-G-O-T-T-A. G-O-H-I-G-E.
Yes, yes, yes. It's not spelled phonetically correct, guy. I mean, it's not spelled correctly, guy. It's Y-A. A lot of guys are putting you got to go higher.
Right, it's Y-A. You got to go higher.
And it's G-O-T-T-A.
Exactly.
And then the rest is standard American English. See,
I feel like I've lost control. Oh my God! And of course, if you can't get to either of those websites or to the theater box office to buy a ticket, go by Larry B. Scott's apartment. It's on Larry. What's that address again?
That's at the East Theater, 6468 Santa Monica Boulevard.
I'll be there at 8:10, and it's $20 to see me.
See, we believe too. That was a part of it too. Now listen to that ticket price, $20. That's a dollar.
All right,
so, because this ain't Steve Harvey stuff. You know, it ain't $45, $65. Buy a suit and a new car and come see me. No, just bring what little you have. Come see us. Have a great time. Be inspired to earn more and more money and live a greater life. What can you ask for $20?
So you will tell me this: who speaks in your voice better these days, you or one of your friends in the room there with you, one of your writers, producers, or you? Who knows your voice better at this point?
Wow, that's interesting. These guys have gotten really, really good. These guys have gotten really, really good, but I still know it the best. I know when I don't hear it, like when they write something for me or they bring a joke back to me or say, suggest something to me, I go, no, that's not my voice. So there's actually something still inside me that realizes, even though as good as these guys are, I mean, these guys are good, too. That was a pretty good question there. I still know that's something I wouldn't say or couldn't say. That was a great question. I never heard that one before, huh?
Well, and as you're rehearsing for the show, have you had any kind of like an out of body experience doing these lines and going, "Wow, I'm doing a show about me." This is
I know. Yes. As a matter of fact, very, and almost to the point where I question and go, "You guys sure we want to do this?"
Yeah.
Yeah, to that point where it's like it's kind of scary. It's scary because then you're going to see, but luckily all through the show, you'll see my transitions. But some of the transitions in the past, since they're not who I am today, they make me a little afraid to show you who I used to be.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they scare me. That guy scares me. But that's not who I am today. So I get a little torn about sharing that with people, other than the fact that I've been told it's useful to others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I speak, you know, I speak at schools, I speak at recovery rooms, I speak at, you know, colleges, wherever they ask me to talk to youngsters or even older people in hospitals. I've gone to hospitals, treatment centers, et cetera. And it seems to have helped a lot of people. I get calls and emails and cards. And since since that has happened, I thought maybe we could expand that and make it more universal.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Since
the story is helpful to other people, I kind of have to tell it, even though it makes me a little nervous from telling it because I really don't want to show you who I used to be. I like who I am today. You know, and my life is good. It's nice. I do well. I'm happy. I love everything and everybody pretty much. But the past is still is what it was. But it seems to help people when they learn that someone like myself has come through something like that.
Hmm.
So I'll tell it.
And Larry, let me ask you a question about this. As you and Danita were writing this, I know you started with about 4.5 hours worth of material that got edited down. Were there things that you guys wanted to keep in that you all wanted out?
Oh my goodness.
No idea.
There was a fight. I mean, we're friends now.
But there were many fights.
But there was many fights. It was like, you know what? Those kind of arguments. So you just don't even because you end up falling in love with certain pieces of the material, and there's things that you want to keep in, or things that you think that are needed. And at 4.5 hours, that was obviously the version where we all got in what we wanted.
Exactly.
The hour and a half, the hour version, hour and 15 minute version, we all had to make concessions. It actually got pretty funny. We started cutting stuff, and you know, that's not a big deal if it's not your stuff. But then when you read through it, you realize your stuff is missing. You're like, wait a minute, why did we cut that?
Well, what about that part?
What about that part? I really wanted that. And then it got to the point where we had cut so much of each other's stuff, it was just cut it. Just get it out of here. It's too long. Get it out. But there's always things in, but that's stuff that you learn through the process to use for other things. So
there was a lot in there that they kept made me still tell.
It's better to have, if you're an artist, it's better to have some clay to mold from than to have to go get some clay.
Right. And there's some many parts that his story is so delicious. There's so much to his story. And it's like we really wanted to show that part of him that other people haven't seen in his stand-up. So it was just really breaking him down, saying, look, you've got to expose yourself in these different ways and just show who you really are.
To be sensitive, be vulnerable.
Well, I'm assuming for the sensitive and vulnerable, that's that was why Danita was there?
Yeah. That did help. Because, you don't think you're – I don't know about you. You might, Mr. Media. You probably are real interesting. But sometimes you don't think you're that interesting to people. And so go, oh, they don't want to hear that. And they're like, no, yes, they do. They don't want to hear about the time I shot at 8 cops and broke 3 necks. And they go, oh, yes, they do. So that's the big part of it. And these guys really do have me down. I mean, they actually can imitate me when I'm not around. And they do. They don't know I have them on camera doing it.
And what's the balance in the show between drama and humor?
It is it's surprising. When you see it, you'll be more surprised. It's not anything what you expect, that's for sure.
That's like
80-20 humor, 20% drama.
Kind of like life if you got a good life.
Yeah, kind of like life if you have a good life. But 80-20.
You gonna have some drama, but hopefully most of it is fun.
Yeah, you got to go higher. It's about overcoming all that type of stuff too.
So we show you up. So we show you where to get the weed. We don't want you wasting around wasting time. You know what I mean?
We're gonna give you addresses, phone numbers.
You gotta go higher. It is not about that. I know they can take clips of everything, so I got to strike that.
Yeah, strike that now. Strike that one from that thing, Mr. Media.
Also to the show.
Yeah, it's the only thing. We like that part. That part he said there.
Well, you know, as we learned last week, it's so easy to strike just the whole show.
With one excuse.
Now, you're in Florida? Where are you at?
I'm in Florida, yep.
Which part of Florida?
St. Petersburg, of course, the new media capital of the world.
Yes, it is. St. Petersburg, I love it out there. I've been all in Florida, so Fort Lauderdale, all of it.
But we've got Home Shopping Network in St. Petersburg. I mean, if that's not the capital of media in the world, I don't know. I don't know what else is.
My mother would bow down to you right now.
See? You got to know where the power is in the world.
Look, I'm surprised she ain't calling right now talking about lag. Turn the network on real quick. Like, Ma, I'm in the middle of a meeting. I know, but look at these pots.
She loves that stuff. It's God.
Look, it's only 4 payments of $34.62.
We can make that happen. So, yeah, it's really great. No, we love Florida.
Well, let's come back to the
Highway 95.
Yeah, Highway 95. Yes, heading out of Florida, I know.
No, actually coming into it because you guys got these mini car washes on the way in. I ride along the freeway there for a little while. It's bright, sunny, sunshine day. Then out of nowhere, bam, rain. I'm like, wow. And then we got through that little patch of rain. Then it's bright and sunny again. Then we ride another 10 or 15, 20 minutes. Bam, rain again. I'm like, Highway 95 got little car washes on there.
That's
am I the only one
true.
That notices that? Huh?
No, quite true. We know We used to know every day at 4 o'clock it was going to rain like hell. And, you know, global warming, I think, has fixed that problem. But
You said global warming?
You said the global. Did you say the global warming fixed that?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. I just wanted to repeat it for you.
Thanks.
Because a lot of people don't think there's such a thing. I don't believe that people are walking around here so blind. A lot of people don't think global warming's real. It's so real.
Well, I know our weather is different than it used to be. That's all I can figure. But let's come back to this.
You got to go higher. I agree with you.
You got to go higher. That's right. So one part of the show is you talking about your relationship and your time with Richard Pryor. How did you meet Pryor? And where does he figure into the show?
Well, he's just a piece. He's just reference point. My relationship was early in my year, and we met at the Comedy Store. His assistant set up a dinner or a meeting for me and him, and we met at the Comedy Store. Even though those years that I was in working the Comedy Store, little known to me, he'd already known who I was, and he already had been watching me. And so so upon meeting him, which was a big, huge deal for me, was the greatest thing, you know, I thought, as a young comedian at that time in my 20s, I thought, God, there was nothing greater, you know, to getting encouragement and advice from such an incredibly talented comic, you know. All I can say is that the way he fits in, maybe that's what the folks go to see in the show. Be careful what part of a person you emulate. In my day, when we were coming up, they always told you, you know, you could be just like someone and so on and so on. Matter of fact, they're still doing it, even in the NBA. You know, LeBron, if he wants to be like Michael Jordan, you know, he can't be like LeBron. If Kobe, if you want to be just like, you know, everybody can't be themselves. So in my day, it was even worse. And they said, oh, you could be just like Richard Pryor. You could be just like Cosby or whatever. And I chose Richard. And there's a good side and bad side to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you mess around and emulate the bad side of Oprah, you're going to have a weight problem. That's just the way it's going to go. But if you emulate her good side, you're going to be one rich, generous human being. Mm. You understand? And the same thing goes with emulating a man like Richard Pryor. And, of course, by the topic of the show, most of you know already, and I know you already know which part I decided to emulate.
Right.
And it was fun at the time. I thought it was a cool thing to do, but that's what I get for, you know, being having no parents and being adopted in a foreign country and just having no direction whatsoever by anyone other than the law. You know, I was incarcerated my entire childhood. So I'm blessed to even be walking.
He's blessed to even be funny.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you had to be funny when you're locked up that long.
A lot of people in that situation that ain't figured out how to be funny.
That's true. Very, very true.
And to be able to relate it to us so that we can learn from it, man, and that's really, really, really cool.
So he's a reference point. It's a relationship that was real, one that I kept to myself all these years, and now I will share how it affected my own life in order to help someone else maybe learn from that example.
Wasn't Pryor, near the end of his stand-up career, when he, you know, there reached a point, of course, where he wasn't able to do stand-up anymore, my memory may be faulty here, so don't be afraid to correct me, but it seems like a big chunk of what he would talk about in his act had become his struggles with drugs and, you know, issues that he was having just dealing with life, as opposed to, you know, the kind of stories that maybe he told earlier on.
Right. I even, without talking for him or anything,
yeah.
I'm aware that a lot of that was a way for him to share it with all of you before he left, was a mm-hmm. way for him to cleanse his own self and to share it with all of you before he got out of here, because he knew he was going in that direction. See, I know I'm going higher. I'm going in another direction. So I'm sharing it with you for a different reason.
And you can also share it more freely when you don't do it no more. It's really hard to lie, go and share your drug use.
While you're on drugs.
Yeah.
And so,
right. And
that gets a mixed message. But at the same time, I do know he liked doing that because he knew it helped other people. He wanted to get it out of his head. And so at the end of his life, towards more when he had the EMS and everything, he spoke more of the things that kind of got him in that chair. He believed God put him in that wheelchair so he would stop fucking up.
Mm.
So he would stop using, stop doing things that he was doing. And that was a part of his belief system. And I'm going to share with the world, that was his, but you don't need to have it. That's just a belief system. We can all have, and we all do have different belief systems. But you can have one that says, you got to go higher. You got to do better. And there is a way to go higher without actually paying the cost of getting high. So, and that's on a spiritual aspect, and you'll get some of that in the show as well.
Which is where?
Now, I knew that was coming. I knew I was going to say that.
He's good, man. This guy here.
Going to be in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Complex East Theater. Now, if you need to order tickets online, you can go to eticketfarm.com. You can also go to yougottagohigher.com. And if you just want to poke around Spencer's background, go to spencerworldwide.com. And, Spencer, what was that phone number to order tickets again?
323-769-5090.
You know, he got it wrong last week, too. That's the only reason we're doing this.
Right. It's 5090. 5090, indeed. And all my Florida people down there, all the Florida, I played all those clubs. You guys know, you bring your butts. If you're in California, you come see me. It'll be great to see you.
You're on vacation. Look us up.
And my, one, matter of fact, somebody in my, Spencerita, in my show, lives there in Orlando. Don't want to put her on blast, but she is a part of the story. And my godson and her, they all live out there in Orlando, Florida. A huge part of this story, actually.
All right. And
so I give him a shout out right there.
Now, did the idea for doing this, I understood that you've, over time, you have spoken to recovery groups, addiction groups. Is that part of where the inspiration for doing the show came from?
Actually, it really did. Well, the national convention, I did in Florida. Ha! That's funny. It was in Florida, exactly. Frickna. There was a national association that brought me out one time in Florida. I want to say Orlando. I was in Orlando, Florida, at the Marriott or something there. Anyway, it was a huge crowd, Mr. Media. I thought it was like 500 people, but they told me it was 300 or so in that hall. It was a big hall they had in the hotel. But anyway, they hired me to come out to do actually a stand-up show. And then I went out there and I incorporated what I knew about recovery within my stand-up and just had the most wonderful time in my life. It just felt different than performing for the audience that just comes in and says, make me laugh. You know, I'm upset today and I am paying a ticket, so you make me laugh. It's a different type of audience. This audience was actually healing. Their laughter was making them feel better about now and their days ahead. And that made a big difference. And the line that lined up for me to buy T-shirts and get my autograph was just all the way around the corner. I have never seen nothing like that before. And so that was where I got my inspiration to. And so did the producer that was hanging out with me at that time. He said, man, we're going to put this show together one day. And so I just kept being of service all these years. I'm over 15 years in recovery. And this is now that I'm at this point, the people that are in my corner says it's time to tell the story. And I really have to tell you one thing. One of my brothers who is in the story as well, I was adopted in France and he was adopted in Germany. We were both brought to the States here to be raised in the hood in Oakland. And you wonder why we had problems, right? But anyway, who takes a vacation in Oakland, right? This is definitely not Orlando. And so, and they're talking Oakland, California. And so, anyway, my brother passed January 6th of this year. And it just, after he left, I just felt like there's nothing else. You know, I don't know. I don't want to leave the planet without making sure y'all know how much I love you. And so, and how I got to where I got, and those kind of things.
Well, one of the ways that Ewell Spencer got to where he got, or is, or gets, whatever the hell I'm trying to say, is I'm trying to find some way to get this clip in here. We have this great clip of Ewell on The Shield. This is in the fifth season, I think.
Yeah, the finale season where they killed my boy Lim. Oh, yeah, I loved it.
All right, so check this out. We're going to talk about this for a minute, and then we're going to let these guys go. So this is Ewell Spencer on The Shield. I don't think it needs to be set up any more than that. Listen up, folks.
You like Tori. Smart, educated, good job. How do you turn out a girl like that?
Every chick's got a hole in her heart and is connected to the one between her legs. I just figure out how to fill it, and then I feed it to her. And I keep feeding it to her until it's overflowing. Just you can't live without it. Then I take it away. That makes me God.
And that's why she's your whore?
If you're born a woman, I can make you my hoe. Now that y'all got some pimpology, no charge. My black ass is out of here, right?
I could listen to that for an hour. I just think that's...
A lot of people love that role. You remember, too, I was like a lawyer slash pimp. I came in as a lawyer, and then I ended up being the pimp. It was crazy. I love that show.
That should have been a spinoff role. That was just, you know, you could do an hour every week with that character.
Thank you very much. We actually thought it was going to be. Maybe that's what's in our future now. To your words to Hollywood, Mr. Media.
Well, I do have that direct connection. So tell me this. So folks that are you're gonna do this show from June 11th to 28th at the Hollywood Complex East Theater in L.A. And then you're doing it for a very small audience. It's a 50-seat theater. So then what happens? Will you take this show on the road? Will it be taped for DVD? What's next?
All of that. All of the above. Yes, we already have a date, and I understand September in Connecticut. And I hear there's an East Coast deal in Vegas right now. So how many Connecticut one I know is almost is for sure. The other two, I'm still looking at the paperwork after actually this show gets started. I don't have time for a lot of that. But they want to take it on the road, on tour. But I like to do something on camera first, you know, on a special or, you know, something like that, and then go on tour with it. Mm-hmm. And or make it to a film or a sitcom. It's a sitcom ideal as well.
What city have you been in as a stand-up? I'm thinking of Connecticut because it just seems analogous to what I've seen. But what city or what club or place have you been in that just didn't get you, and you just tell that joke that went over so well in one place, and you're in this place, and it's just like, what the hell happened?
I always got this, like, funny way to break ice, you know, no matter where. I've been in Harleyville, Pennsylvania. I've been in Kachikawa, Pennsylvania. I've been in KKK land of the West. I mean, I've been there. And I just opened up this show with, you know, things like, you know, the first thing I noticed about this club is not that popular with the brothers, is it? And they just break out laughing. And next thing I know, we're friends and we're cow tipping and shit. So I can't give you, like, I've had bad shows. But not in a particular city or a place where they don't get me. One fortunate thing I have, a rule I have within my comedy, is that I'm pretty much a universal comic. I like country boys. I like city boys. I like brothers from Europe. I travel so much, meet so many. Being an adopted kid and then lock up all your life. Are we off?
Yeah, we're here. I know it went out in my ear, too, but we're here.
Okay. And by being locked up with so many people from so many parts of the world, you learn to get along with a lot of people. So I've had bad shows, but I've never had like a place that just didn't get me. I mean, I played in Texas. I've been in Beaumont. I mean, they love me. I love them. I love what I do, and I think that shows.
Yeah. Once you get to a level where you're professional, it becomes more about you than it does about the audience. It's about, did you do something right with your act? Did you change something?
Could I have been better?
Yeah, did you not take note of something that obviously was happening in the room?
Yeah, never the audience's fault. I've never blamed the audience in my life.
The bad comedian.
My life.
Now, if somebody comes up and just starts yelling, that's different.
Yeah, hecklers. I've had those. I've had some hecklers.
And if you learn how to deal with that, that's tough. That really is.
Yeah, and that was really early in my career. Once people start recognizing you from TV and stuff like that, they kind of leave you alone.
Yeah, once they've seen you, they back off.
Yeah, they kind of like let you do your thing, and if you suck then they tell you you suck.
Yeah,
polite. Very politely, yeah.
And they do it like this, Mr. Media. They say, you were so good.
And that's it. I hate that one. Oh, no, the one I hate the most is, you were pretty good. Oh, that's the one I don't like. You were pretty good tonight, man. I mean, get the hell out of here. But, yeah, those happen. I've had bad shows, but not too many bad audiences. I'm not going to say they're not there. They do exist. I've just been very, very blessed.
You also learn to stay out of those joints.
Yeah.
You don't want to go any place where you might incite a riot.
Yeah, that's me. I don't go any place where I might incite a riot.
Because they really riot. They riot.
And I like to be as far away from them as possible. So also I accept bookings too, mostly in places that I know that are conducive to comedy, that are set up for comedy, and people aren't bringing in their guns and whistles
and their problems
and stuff like that.
Well, we're just about to wrap up, but I've got a question here from the live web chat that accompanies all the Mr. Media interviews. The question is, do you have any clips on YouTube? And before you answer that, I will tell folks that if you check out SpencerWorldwide.com, there's some highlight reels there. But do you know if there's any clips of you performing up on YouTube?
I bet you from www.yougottagohigher.com they can find some YouTube clips.
Okay.
But maybe if you start from there, because I know I have a YouTube channel, and so that they set up for me. So I know
okay.
I do. I know I do. I got a lot of stuff. There should be a lot of stuff on YouTube when in relation to different work and the thing. Matter of fact, there's a thing called Mobster's Bedtime Stories. Where you see, I played a little baby. Some of our early work. Larry plays an Italian gangster mob. You got to see this, Mr. Media. You're gonna love it. It's a good bedtime story for the kids who go to bed. And,
oh, good.
It's called Mobster's Bedtime Story, and Larry plays a black Italian mobster, and then his white goon is like 8 feet tall. He's damn near out of the picture. It's hilarious. And then when it goes to the frame of the baby, it turns out to be me. And so it's pretty silly and stuff. But I've made quite a few clips on YouTube if they searched around. But I would start from yougottagohigher.com if I were you.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Listen, folks, we'll give the plug one more time here as we're going out. So you can catch Ewell Spencer's one-man show, You Gotta Go Higher, from June 11th through June 28th. At the Hollywood Complex East Theater in Los Angeles. And you can order tickets in either at yougottagohigher.com, that's yougottagohigher.com, solid, or eticketfarm.com. And, Ewell, what's that phone number again? Let's see if you get it right.
Yeah, I got it. 323-769-5090. That's 323-769-5090.
Ewell, this is God. Thank you. You did a fine job with that phone number. It's about time. Thank you. Thank you. This is God signing out.
And, of course, check out Spencer on Spencer Worldwide, and apparently check him out on YouTube. It's Y-U-L and then Spencer.
Yes. You can Twitter me, too. They can follow me on that Twitter stuff on Ewell Spencer.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I'm following you myself. So, yeah. It's,
great.
It's Twitter.com. I'm the guy.
Yeah, he got
Keep looking over your shoulder for that short, bald, white guy, and that's me following you.
All right.
So, Spencer, Larry B., and Danita, thank you guys so much for joining us on Mr. Media today. That was a lot of fun.
Mr. Media, thank you for having us. We really love you, man.
Yeah.
All right.
We
good luck with
fun.
The show. All right. Good luck with the show. Bring it to us soon.
Will do. Yes, we're coming to Florida.
All right.
I see you when we do.
All right.
All right. You guys take care.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And, of course, for more comedy interviews, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Lisa Lampanelli, Ralphie May, Michelle Ballin, Robert Schimmel, Bob Alper, and the whitest kids you know, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, Pointer Online, MySpace, Facebook, NetVibes, Multiply, Zanga, Digital Journal, Friendster, Orkut, Bebo, Tag, Google, Yahoo, Podcast Pickle, Vox, Folio, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media in iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews within the podcast section of iTunes and click the free subscribe button. It's that easy. You can also listen with a piece of string in a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give a piece of your day, spend it with us. Thanks for listening.